Good morning, dearly beloved people of God. It's Monday. It's the 30th of August, the second last day of officially of spring. And it's a joy to be with you this morning as we approach the beginning of spring. What has been shocking for me is how quickly this year is drawing to an end. But today we begin our week of meditation in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. Now, the idea of these meditations is to focus our thoughts on a section of the text, to hear the voice of our loving God, and to be built up in our most holy faith, and to pray in the Holy Spirit for the day ahead. Let's check out Jude, verse 20. The two letters to the church in Thessalonica were written in the year 51 AD. These are thought to be the earliest of his letters to the various churches. Primarily, Paul wrote letters to correct erroneous thinking within those churches. Wrong thinking was evidenced in wayward living, which did not bring glory or honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm firmly convinced that these letters are also addressing and combating the wayward thinking and living, both within and without outside of the church in our day. As you learned from David recently, the incorrect thinking about the coming of Christ resulted in strange and even weird behavior. In this letter, Paul continues to deal with the result of wrong thinking, namely idleness and the refusing to work for a living. But more about that in the days ahead. What truly is wonderful in this is the attitude of gratitude with which Paul begins his letter. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. That's verse 3. One translation of this verse has it, we are bound to thank God. As Paul received his reports on the church, what sprang from his heart was thanksgiving. Bear in mind that the birth of this Christian community in Thessalonica was a very difficult one. Do read about the beginning in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. Paul had arrived there after he had been chased from Philippi. He and Silas had received a severe severe beating from the Jews. As you read it, put yourself in Paul's shoes. I have a vivid picture from my youth of what a severe beating looks like. We used to play soccer in the local park, and one day a friend who had been caught for smoking dacha, in those days it wasn't legal, he came to the park. He had been sentenced to receive 6 cuts from the police. He very gingerly pulled down his pants to reveal his most horrendous, colorful backside. It was all the shades of the rainbow from the bruising, with big welts clearly visible. He didn't want to join us in our game of soccer, choosing rather to stand on the edge and watch us as we continued to play. One commentator remarked on this verse 3, and I quote, our churches have become so interested in attendance growth that they have ignored a more important growth, namely growth in faith. The church program often does little to promote growth in faith, as it is geared to grow mostly in attendance. The Thessalonians' growth in faith was exceptional. Unquote. This got me thinking. How can you have one without the other? Faith without works is dead, says the Apostle James in chapter 2 and verse 18. Paul was writing to a church which was experiencing persecution on a number of different fronts. The Jews from the synagogue in Philippi continued to harass Paul and the church in Thessalonica. There's a great distance between the two of them, and they had to walk. Add to that the Roman Empire forcefully stamping its authority and you have a very difficult situation under which to build a church. The one thing Paul rejoiced in was the growth in the faith of the people in the church in Thessalonica. This was not a growth in head knowledge concerning the faith. No, it was a dynamic faith which was displayed in the way those folk loved one another. The people in the church of Thessalonica grew in faith and love. COVID has had a huge damaging effect on not only our economy, but has also played havoc in the church as well. It is almost as if the church is again under persecution conditions. COVID has highlighted the thinking within the church. Thinking that has produced either growth or stunted its growth. So what we have come to accept is faith without works, or works of gathering together. Let me repeat that. What we have come to accept is faith without the work of gathering together. Recently, I read an article in which the author outlined 5 reasons why people drift away from church. I'm going to quote from that article. A longtime friend and volunteer leader in his church had not attended in months. I asked him if something had upset him. He said, No, I love my church. We have just got busy. Started missing here and there. And then, it just got easier not to go. But we do watch online sometimes. What was beautiful to experience was the pure joy in the lives of people attending our first in-person gathering after the lifting of the restrictions. People were crying with joy, the joy of worshiping together. There was a wonderful vibe during the service, and the preaching of the word had that added oomph. This is the life of Jesus flowing through a visible expression of people who have faith rooted in his resurrection. Without this dynamic growing faith, the church becomes a club.